listening to Locked On Cavaliers, your daily look at the Cleveland Cavaliers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Cavaliers podcast for Wednesday, October 3rd. This is the number one daily local sports podcast network, the Locked On Podcast Network. And I'm Chris Manning, your host and the site manager from FearTheStory.com, SB Nation's Cleveland Cavaliers site. You can also read my work at places like The Step Back, Cleveland Magazine, and other places if they're willing to hire me for some freelance work. If you aren't already, you can find the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Megaphone, or wherever else you listen to podcasts. A five-star review is the best way to support the show. And you can find the show on Twitter and Facebook at Locked On Cavs. And you can find me on Twitter and Facebook as well at CWM Writes. On today's show, we are going to look at last night's preseason game, which the Cavs won 102-95 against the Boston Celtics. They are 1-0 in the preseason. To break it down, and this is largely, I think, because it's the preseason still. Some of you know only really saw half of actual players, maybe not even the real rotations we're going to see, I think, when it comes to the regular season. We're just going to look at four positives and then I think two negatives, because this was a mostly positive game that stood out to me as I watched the game and took notes. If you're looking for more stories, more breakdowns of Cavs related things, go to Fear the Sword. We have a ton of player previews, game breakdowns, a ton of other podcasts. There's a ton of Cavsy things over there as well. And if you want to, again, well, you'll hear later in the show something I'll mention in a second, but Cleveland Magazine also has my big Cavs season preview, and that includes my Q&A with Colin Sexton, a breakdown of some numbers to know, and a little ode to Channing Frye as well. And on today's show, you'll at the end of the show, at the very back end, you'll hear my interview with Colin Sexton. Shouts to Cleveland Magazine again for letting me post that interview on this podcast, not just having it be in the magazine. It's the full time I had with him. It's a bit over a month old at this point, so this is pre-training camp, but you'll hear the full interview I have with Colin, and he was great to talk to, so you'll hear that after the game breakdown. But let's get into the Cavs win over Boston, which no Kyrie Irving for the Celtics and set out due to rest, and no J.R. Smith for reasons. I am, as I record this at 11:47 p.m., I am not sure why he didn't play. But starting with the positives, to me, the most visual and I think impressive thing we saw was an improved pace for this Cavs team. This is a group that was playing quick, that was playing like they had something to really be involved in, something really to push for. And I was very, very impressed by that. This was a Cavs team that I thought did a really, really nice job in getting out and not really letting things settle and dragging the ball up and not waiting to get shots off. This was a team that if Jetty got a rebound, he could push it. If Kevin Love, in a couple instances, I think three by my account, got the rebound and wanted to push, he could push. This wasn't funnel it to George Hill or funnel it to someone, to Rodney Hood, and let that player create. They said, okay, we're going to let everyone contribute here. We're going to get the ball off the floor and we're going to play. They really have in preseason been working on playing with 12-second shot clocks. I think you're going to see them try to get more possessions, try to make use of really what they really have right now. And I think that to me was the big thing that we saw. Now there are going to be some growing pains. I think you saw in certain lineups that's going to be a little bit trickier to manage. I think you'll get different looks. Kevin Love on the right elbow, for instance, was a different look. You're going to have some uncomfortable moments. I have to find the right personnel. Jetty's going to make mistakes doing this. Sexton will make mistakes. It'll be an adjustment for everyone, but I think it plays well to the personnel. I think it plays well to the weaknesses of the team, getting them more possessions. I really liked it, and it's just more interesting to watch than them plotting. And look, without a LeBron, doesn't make sense to really play super slow, play drive it all through one guy, run iso ball through. Without a Kyrie, without a LeBron, doesn't make sense to do that. Be more dynamic, and let's just see what you can do when you give these guys opportunities to be more creative. I think Love was overall the best player in this game. He was sort of good in the way you would expect. So I'm going to talk a little bit about Jetty. In this preseason, I am more interested in sort of evaluating what the young guys look like, and that's a big thing for this season. But for me, when I look at like Kevin Love, if he plays 30 minutes a night and plays in 70 games, he's going to be an all-star. He's going to be the best player on the team. So what does year two look like for Osman, who played 19 minutes in this game, tied most for among starters? What does this year look like for Colin Sexton, who played 23 minutes? And we'll get to him. But for me, Jetty was really interesting. What I liked was that he, again, was aggressive. This is a guy that on the defensive end was guarding Jason Tatum, one of the premier young scorers in this league. Did a pretty decent job with physical, maybe a little over-aggressive at times, that dialed it back a little bit. But he pushed the ball. You had him getting rebounds, getting up the floor, scoring, finding guys for assists. Really positive stuff. Echoes of what he does with the Turks national team. He had 7 rebounds, 4 assists. Only the 1 turnover. So good taking care of the ball. Second best plus minus among starters at plus 11. And I think you also saw some things that can kind of indicate what he really needs to improve on this year. I think in the 19 minutes and sort of what he was, I think you have an encapsulation of sort of what is interesting about him this upcoming season. He was 1-4 from 3, made the pull-up 3, and then missed his other 3 threes that were taken later in the half. He's someone that I think really needs to be able to hit threes consistently. It's something he struggled with the Turkish national team, struggled with when he played with Canton last year. It's just not a skill he has down yet. His form looks better. It's very Kyle Korver-esque if you sort of watch his film. But he needs to be able to hit that shot. If he can hit that shot and become a real three-point shooter, he can hit another level as a player. And defensively, look, I think he's going to be thrown to the wolves this year. I think when you look at the setup of the team, he's someone that really has to, I think, be asked to defend the best scorer on the other team, and that's a lot to ask of him. How he handles that, what kind of defender he can be, will also raise his profile. There's something really promising there. I love Jetty. I'm super high on him. Tonight was sort of, I think, a good encapsulation of where he's at right now, even though it's a kind of meaningless preseason game. But I like overall what I saw. Very intrigued. Some things to work on. Moving on from him, looking at Colin Sexton, I liked largely what we saw from Colin Sexton. It was not quite as plodding, not as ball heavy for him, and really just a small number of minutes in that first half playing with Jordan Clarkson. We'll talk a little bit about that pairing later, but I liked what I saw from Sexton. This guy comes out and is competitive. He threw some really nice passes. He threw some really aggressive reads. He was getting the ball up the floor. He did make some sort of rookie mistakes where he didn't quite know what the set to be, not a familiarity with some of the guys he's playing with. But you sort of saw Sexton get downhill. You saw him trying to make plays. You saw him competing and locked in. That is what's going to help him succeed as a rookie. This is a guy that I think has skill. It's not as that he's lacking passing skill or ability to read defenses or an ability to finish, but you're seeing a player whose best attribute right now is his motor and his athleticism. He's going to rely on those so much. And I think when you see that in this game, you see some of the limitation of that, but you see how fun that's going to be and what that's going to allow him to do. He's not necessarily breaking, when he breaks down defenses, he's not necessarily doing it because he's being patient and reading it a la like a Chris Paul or a Tony Parker. He's just trying to out-athletic you and get to the rim that way instead of doing it that way. And there's going to be issues there. KG defenders are going to stymie him, but it's also going to result in some real highlight plays. And if he can learn, I think, to blend those two things and make progressions in terms of reading defenses this year, the Cavs will have something really nice in their hands. That, to me, is the big key for him. You saw, I think, some of that, not quite to the extent of Jetty in terms of the encapsulation of him, because I'm skeptical that who we saw him play with in this game is who he'll play with long term for this year, but I also do think that it's a good start for where we're at with him. Moving on, I thought the guys that actually played in this game were interesting. Now, I think we're going to see a better mix. I think you're going to see not the tradition, the starter heavy. I think my guess is that when you look at this game, the starters played most of that first half. All of them played at least 17 minutes in the first half. To put it into context, that's a lot. Putting them in place for like 34 minutes a game for Kevin Love, 38 for Jetty, that's a little high. I think if you look, you'll see some more bench lineup mixing, some different looks where you have 2 starters on the floor, 3 starters on the floor with bench guys, what have you. But I liked sort of what their mix are going to be. I think the starting lineup is a good starting lineup. I think, Hill and Hood is a good backcourt duo for Jetty. Jetty being out there, I think, makes sense with those two guys to kind of as the antithesis for Hood in particular. Love with Thompson and Hernan should be a productive duo, and I think Kevin Love obviously should be starting. When you get to the bench, I like that Korver is in there with Sexton. I think that's a good guy to have on the floor with him. I like playing Nance with him. You saw some of the athleticism that these two sort of guys kind of bring in the pick and roll. They almost created a really nice alley-oop combination just because they both were able to get the spot because of how athletic they are. That's really interesting. Jordan Clarkson wasn't even bad in this game. NBAMinor.com, a great stats website, had a stat that I looked up that showed that Jordan Clarkson was 33rd in the league last year among all players and 5 point more burst or more. He had a 7 point burst by himself in this game. He's going to be asked to do that kind of stuff. What J.R. Smith rolling here sort of is interesting. We'll talk about Tim Decker and the negatives. I was not particularly in love with his night, but he's okay, I guess. But I overall sort of like the combinations to see. I'm curious to see what Ty does as he continues to mix them. And you did see just a mix different in terms of style when Clarkson was in the game, and particularly in the second half when him and Sexton started the half. I think the game slowed down. I think you need to see them pick up that pace with those bench units, and if they can keep that up, that's going to help. But they need someone to really keep the offense flowing. Maybe that means staggering Hood. I think, again, getting Kevin Love on the floor with Sexton. I didn't take good enough notes on this, but I think they maybe played a minute together in this game. It's not much. We need to see more of those two guys together. I think it'd be good for Sexton to be on the floor with Love. But overall, I like the guys they went with. Now, do I want to see David Nwaba? Yes. Am I concerned about Decker? Yes. But I think overall, I think he did pick Ty, did sort of pick the right main guys. And we'll see what adjustments he makes going forward. Looking at the negative, I don't want to harp too much on Decker. Anyone who has listened to this podcast knows I'm pretty low on him. But I thought of the guys that were in the rotation, he struggled. Now, I thought Ante Zizic really struggled as well in garbage time, which is concerning. But into preseason, so there's a context there. But Decker really struggled. I thought he had a good drive at one point in this game to score, finish overall with a worthless stat line, +7, 1-3 from the field, 0-1 from three, had a rebound, did pick up two fouls, but was +7. I thought he fought well in defense. He was at least trying to get to the right spots and not just being a complete liability. But if you look at the role he's being asked to play, if you look at how he was deployed, it was with Larry Nance, who's playing the five, he's playing the four. If Ty sticks to this idea that Thompson and Nance are gonna flip flop depending on the starting lineup matchups, that means he's gonna be playing with Tristan. So he's a four. Is he gonna hit threes like Kevin Love? He's functionally Kevin Love's backup, and the Cavs are picking him as the backup here to sort of be a more modern piece. He in this game, I think, showed his limitations. He's not quite athletic enough to play some of these roles. He has some work to do as an offensive player to really make some of this work. There are, I think, clear limitations with him. He was the guy that I thought struggled the most. Now, do I think there are ways to help him succeed more? Yes. Do I think there is something to be mined there? I think there's a useful player there to be mined. He's a guy that was good 2 years ago and maybe just really struggled last year for reasons I don't totally know. But I thought this was a rough start for him out of the rotation guys. Basically, the non-crunch time or garbage time guys, I thought he was the most concerning rotation player. That's not the type of sign I think the Cavs would be hoping for from him. Maybe it'll get better. I think there's some adjustments you can make. I think just getting him in the flow a little bit more, just getting him kind of regular minutes should help. I think, again, there's something there to be mined, but I thought he was the guy that struggled the most, and that's a bit concerning considering he should be able to hang with some of these more athletic guys in smaller lineups, but he really just didn't look athletic enough to hang there in this game. And for a younger guy, that's not great. The other thing in this game is I did not love necessarily who Sexton played with. I understand that the minutes breakup was weird. I understand that the starters were sort of segmented into their own universe in this game. But for me, I want to see him with Love. I want to see him not with Clarkson, who, again, was good in this game. I want to see him with different pairings. It's one game, and we have to see what Ty does. We'll have to see what he does. But what about David Nwaba in there and going super small and super athletic and switchy instead of Decker? What about Ante Zizic, who I think could be a nice pick-and-roll pairing with Colin Sexton as opposed to Decker and with Nance at the four or something like that? Like, I think there are versions of who I'd like to see him play with that could support him more. And I think getting him time with Love, getting him time with Korver, I think makes sense. But getting him time with guys that can help him and help him make winning plays is a smart thing. I don't know if Jordan Clarkson is that you saw how much I think the offense could really stagnate if Sexton's out there and it's, you know, Korver's running off screens. And if Kyle, I love Kyle Korver. He's a great player. I think he should be a Hall of Famer. Fantastic quote, a guy I've really come to like talking to. There's also, I think, a problem when if he's the guy that you're initiating offense through at this point in his career, that's a problem. If he's your best hope of running sets for that aren't Jordan Clarkson ISOs or something, that's a problem. Now, maybe the Sexton Nance pick and roll works out. Maybe Decker improves. Maybe they can do some creative stuff. But I think you want to get him with more guys he can run sets with. And I think Zizic could help kind of just do some stuff because at least he has a functional big man skill set. At least with Nwabu, you have a guy that's going to run. You have a guy that hit a three in this game. Maybe could be a shooter. I doubt it, but it's possible. And just doing some other things to get him with better personnel that fits sort of him and getting, I think him and Clarkson is just a really problematic duo. And there's other things I would rather see and adjusting who plays instead of Decker, perhaps is another option. But as of right now, it seems as if they're going to play with Decker. And just to give you an idea of who did play in the first half, you had the starters, obviously, of George Hill, Rodney Hood, Jetty Osman, Kevin Love, Tristan Thompson. You go to the start of this. You got the other guys who did play in the first half. You had Decker, who's the first guy off the bench, Clarkson, Korver, Sexton, and Larry Nance Jr. Now, J.R. Smith didn't play. Fred McLeod says he will play on Saturday. Don't really know what's up there. Nwabu played later. Fry did not play. Isaiah Taylor played what I thought was pretty good. To me, he was the most interesting guy on the fringe of the roster in terms of someone that might get the 15th roster spot. Billy Preston played later on. Kobe Simmons played later on. You had some interesting ish guys, but I think there's some adjustments to be made there. But you sort of saw the group that I think is favored right now, and that's Osman, Hill, Love, Hood, Sexton, Nance, Thompson, Decker, Clarkson, Korver, probably a JR in there. And I think of those guys, Decker's the one most on the fringe. Maybe Clarkson plays himself into there, but I think his ball creation might just be end up being too valuable. And he doesn't have a lot of that right now. Regardless of his inefficiencies, the concerns about him as a player, that is certainly there. But that's going to be it for the breakdown of the game. Again, the Cavs were 1-0 in the preseason, 1-0 post LeBron for now. But what you're going to hear now is myself talking to one Colin Sexton, the Cavs' top draft pick, someone that I have really come to like talking to. And thank you for listening. You'll hear me on the back end of this podcast. But thanks for listening. Thanks for listening to the breakdown. We'll have more of these coming soon, more episodes this week. David Zavok will be back on the show this week, formerly of The Athletic, formerly of FearlessOver.com. And we'll have breakdowns of the future preseason game, including Saturday's first home preseason game of Cavs and the Celtics round two. But without further ado, here is my conversation with Colin Sexton.
So what just drafted, what's it already like doing events like this with kids in the community, like just coming in and doing that from day one?
It's an excitement event because like growing up, you always want that one player to come back and show some love and take pictures. Just take the time out and to shake a hand and just talk to you. That's the biggest thing.
Was there one player for you that you always wanted to be that was your favorite player growing up?
Allen Iverson, he had like a basketball camp. Me and my brother, we both went, and he took the time out and signed me and my brother jersey. So that's just one event that stood out to me was that Allen Iverson.
What about AI's game did you like as a kid?
I just like the swagger he played with, passion he played, and just the heart. Because when he was out there, you knew he was going to give it his all, no matter what. So,
is there a player now that you're looking forward to playing against, now that you're like in the NBA?
Not at all. Just playing against all the good guards out there. Just seeing where I compare and how I match up against those guys.
Is it exciting for you? Like, you're going into this position where there's like a ton of great point guards, like a ton of all-star level guys across the East. Is like that exciting for you? They're going to jump right into that.
It's very exciting. Can't wait. Can't wait for the season. Can't wait to get together with the guys and just build that camaraderie and that chemistry.
So is it? I read like in a profile of you that you like, or saw a video of like eating Skittles before a game. Do you eat Skittles before every game? Or
yeah,
did you used to do that?
Before every game, I eat Skittles before every game.
Why do you eat Skittles before every game?
I don't know. It just gets my blood flowing. Just I don't know, and it tastes good. So
hey. Will you still do that? Like, or have
yeah,
like?
I will. I will continue to do it.
Has any coach like been like, don't do that? You should eat something healthy, or they're just like, do you?
Yeah, they like do me. Whatever it's gonna get me out there and get me playing at my best. So.
Do you have any other like interesting things in your pregame routine that you do?
I do, but I don't tell.
Yeah,
I don't tell.
Okay,
so.
Yeah. So when you think about like this upcoming season, obviously you're on a team now where LeBron left, but Kevin left. So what does it mean to you that as a team, Kevin's still around? They're still going to try to compete for a playoffs, but then they're not just going to bottom out. Like, what does that mean to you? They're still going to try to win games.
Oh yeah. We have goals set as a team. Yeah. We have goals set that we want to reach and want to accomplish. Yeah. So we're going to try to do it no matter what the odds are, we're going to try to meet those goals in the future.
Have the Ty or any other coaches outlined like what they envision your role as being this year?
Just coming in and learning and being the best player I can be.
Yeah.
And just bringing the team together and being the leader. Coming in and have a leadership role
With the dream of George Hill, obviously, there's, you know, you have Damon Jones as a coach, you have Ty as a coach, former NBA point guard. What does it mean to come in for you? What advantages does it give you to come in and have all these guys? You can pick their brain and ask them questions all the time.
It's really good, just so that I can talk to them about any situation, just because they've been through it. They know what it takes to stay in the league. They know what it took for them to be successful. So. Yeah.
Is there any like type of like are you expecting any like what kind of adjustments are you expecting like, from coming from college? Is it game speed? Is it the type of defense? Is anything?
Not at all. Just the amount of games is something that's going to change. Just because at Alabama, Coach Avery, we played an NBA type of game. He ran like a NBA type system the whole year. So I don't think that's going to affect me any type of way.
Did he give you any advice as somebody who was around the NBA about like adjusting to playing 82 games instead of two games a week for a couple months?
Absolutely. He just told me to make sure I take care of my body, make sure I do everything that I need to, and just make sure I listen to the vets because they've been there. They've played the league for a long time, so they know what it takes to stay in the league as well as be good in the league. So.
When you obviously on draft night said like, you know, LeBron stay want to come play for a title, but now that he's gone, is there any extra challenge you see in like him? Obviously he's maybe the greatest player ever and he's gone, but what does it mean to you to come in that situation and maybe like help make the franchise great when he's not around?
I can't wait. Just to get the franchise back to where they expected and where everybody here wants it to be. So
everyone's the biggest thing. Off the court, do you have like a favorite kind of like food or anything like that? Have you found anywhere in Cleveland that you like to eat already?
No, not yet. But right now, off the court, I just watch movies. That's it.
What's the best movie you've seen recently?
Equalizer
2?
Yeah.
Anything else coming up that you're looking forward to seeing or no?
It's a lot of good movies, so I just got to decide.
Last thing, you went to the same high school as Lil Yachty, right?
Right.
Who's a bigger deal back in your hometown, you or Lil Yachty?
I'll say Lil Yachty. Well, we're probably close to the same.
Yeah.
Just because everybody wants to be rappers and everybody wants to fill his shoes. And just like where we're coming from, a lot of people rap and a lot of people have like music now.
Yeah.
And they seen him do it, so they want to push for it. And I feel like the sky's the limit. Don't let nobody stop you from your goals. If that's what you want to do in life, then do it.
In the last thing, Young Bull Challenge, what was the favorite thing you saw, like when people made their own Young Bull Challenge videos, what was like the best one you saw? Was there one that stood out to you when you saw it? You're like, I can't believe that person did it.
They all was pretty good. I think when LeBron did, that's when I was like, ever since then, it started picking up. So.
Favorite kind of Skittle? What's your favorite color of Skittle?
I'll say the red.
The red?
Red bag.
So thanks again to the folks at Cleveland Magazine, Steve Gladura, Dylan Stewart, Kim Schneider, the homie Jason Brill, for allowing me to post this interview. Thanks again to everyone for listening. Again, you can find me on Twitter and Facebook at CWM Rights. The podcast is on Twitter and Facebook at Locked On Cavs. Cavs won 102-95, 1-0 in the preseason. We'll be back tomorrow with another episode. This has been Locked On Cavaliers, part of the number one local sports podcast network, the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm Chris Manning. Have a great day and cheers.